Dear God, and it is only in the wondrous, wondrous name of your Son Jesus, we give you all thanks and all praise and all glory and all honor this morning. And may the gratitude just increase in all sincerity to that finished, precious Lamb slain. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, thank you that you've called us to abide in you and you in us, Lord. So thankful that it is that simple. God, and we just come knowing that you're ready to give. Lord, help to open us to receive it today. Lord, break up the fallow ground. God, there's work going on in each and every one of your vessels. Lord, the perfection, the full maturity of the mature sons of God. All creation groaneth for the manifestation of that day. God, help us to partake as a body one for another, to run and to run well, and to finish with joy. By your Spirit, and in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going back to Galatians chapter 5, and we're in a journey through the fruit of the Spirit. We'll pick it up there in the 22nd verse. That's Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's why you know they're Christ's. Hallelujah. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And today, brothers and sisters, we've come to meekness. And meekness is the eighth grace of the fruit. Eight is the number of the bride. And I believe how true we will find this bridal one in this wonderful grace of meekness. Impossible not to find meekness in her, because that's what makes her, as well as all the other graces of this wondrous fruit. But I'd like to begin today with what meekness is not. What it's not. Meekness does not mean to be shy. Meekness does not mean to be obscure or to even cower in fear. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you. And yes, he does have a yoke. And it's a wondrous one. Praise God. Hallelujah. But take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. So here we go. Our meek Lord was not shy. He was not obscure. And I'm going to tell you something. His perfect love casts out all fear all the time. But yet, even though he is and was and always will be the I am, he always was and always is and will always continue to be obedient, surrendered, and bowed down unto the Father. Amen. Meekness, brothers and sisters, is a willingness. It's absolute gratefulness, unexplained gratitude and thankfulness to surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a thankfulness to do so. There's a willingness that God by grace gives you to say, Lord, I surrender to you as my head, as my Lord. And by grace upon grace, even my heavenly bridegroom, praise his name. Lowly, humble, brothers and sisters, those are two wonderful words. Wonderful words that are not just words. They need to be effectually worked into our lives. This is what meekness is. Christ Jesus, you are everything. Christ Jesus, you are everything. And I am nothing. Nothing. Apart from God, we're nothing. Apart from God, you cannot do anything. Apart from God, you're going to lay waste in the way. Apart from God, you're going to be mowed over by the devil. You're going to be led around with a ring in your nose. And you will be. You're somebody's servant here today. You are. Praise be to God that that grace is extended to you to receive, to bring you into a meeting where you will hear His truth and love this morning. And that is all because of Him. Christ Jesus, You are everything and I am nothing. Brother Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are. You is what you is. I'll bring it down however you want it. By the grace of God. He went on to say, I labored more abundantly than they all. And that brother did. And praise God that brother did. I'm so thankful. But it wasn't him at all. He said, it wasn't I at all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God which was with me. The grace of God that is with you. The grace of God that is with me. The same grace of God that is unchanging grace. And I praise God every day. Every day. And I am sure that many of you praise Him as well. That He's given me a heart to say, Lord, I will go. That He's given me a heart that says, Lord, I will be willing to labor. But it is not I. It is the grace of God that is with me. And praise God, grace is so beautiful. And I hope you can see her here today. I hope that I can see her there with you today. Oh yes, I have to have the vision for you just as well. Oh, you mean I have to have grace for you as well as you for me? No, you don't have to. It's just what you want to fellowship and partake with God. How much do you want? Oh, help us, Lord. Grace, look at her. Look at her alone. Grace is altogether lovely. That's what makes us altogether lovely. That's what makes us altogether. That's what unites us in spirit. The unity of the Spirit. The call of grace. The working of grace. The keeping of grace. We can never, ever apprehend it, embrace it enough. Really. Know it, brothers and sisters. Praise God. It is our lifetime quest. If there is a lifetime quest, then there is. Obtain grace. Obtain all the grace. Apprehend the grace. All the grace that He has to bestow. There's many reasons why, but I think it's maybe not better said anywhere in the Scriptures than Esther chapter 2, verse 17. In Esther chapter 2, verse 17, well, in the book of Esther, it speaks of that sweet little orphan girl that is brought up. And brought up in the king's palace. She's taken in by the chamberlain and raised up to be pleasing to the king. And she submits and she takes all of the instruction, every bit of it. It's hardly ever heard a word from her. All the words of instruction from the Holy Spirit continuing to encourage that little life. And she turns only to those that have godly instruction. I'm sure there were many at her ears. There were many trying to tug her away. But she heeded only to the instruction of the Word of God. Yep, she did. And she remained low and humble and received. And here's what it says happened. The king loved Esther above all the women. Above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. Now listen to that. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So she was already given the grace to just be there. So she even received more undeserved grace, more undeserved favor, more undeserved mercy. And it was completely undeserved. So there wasn't any of her meriting any of this great grace and favor all the way along. I mean, with this, you could never understand that. With this mind, I could never conceive. But by my Spirit, not only can I conceive it, praise God, I can live it. I can rejoice in it. I can get thrilled about the great grace of God. That doesn't end there. It even gets better. I'll go back and read it from the beginning. The king loved Esther above all the women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head. Now that would have been just absolutely marvelous and wonderful just to end it right there. But God has a point to make right there after that. He said that he set the royal crown upon her head. She didn't set it there. She didn't even know where it was supposed to be placed anyway. She was so ignorant. But God made her wise. Be still and know that I am God. Watch me do the work. Go read that story. Go rejoice in that story. And it's not a story. It's a witness. And sure, it's speaking of Israel. On the base of base, I understand that. But if you want to start soaring with the Lord, you better let the message of the cherubim and the seraphim start rejoicing in your heart, brothers and sisters, and start to believe God and realize what He has given you. It is. We've sat here sometimes week after week, and do we appreciate the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Huh? I pray we do. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Instead of Vashti. This was a woman that was beautiful that was in there that was wearing that crown. And it was gone. Brothers and sisters, only by obtaining grace will you ever or will I ever wear the crown. But I've seen God's precious people, brothers and sisters, become arrogant. Arrogant. About, yea, the deep things of God. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I'm telling you something here. God's telling you through me something here. You arrived all by grace. Did you know that? Vashti, you arrived all by grace. But what happened when you got in here? What happened when you got into the kingdom? It's going to be on my terms now, God. I'm going to tell you the way that I'm going to do it. God's feisty. He's feisty in His love. He is. He loves you. And it's not going to work that way. You didn't get in there by anything but grace. Remember, you never even deserved to step foot in there. Ever. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. We never deserved it. And all He wants you to do is be thankful for it. So, bringing us back to meekness and humility. 1 Peter 3:4 tells us, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Listen. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God is of great price. An ornament, brothers and sisters, is something that adds to the beauty. An ornament is something that adds to the value. Now, isn't it just a coincidence? Please never use that word, really. You shouldn't. Because there isn't such a thing to the people of God. There's no coincidence. Isn't it wonderful divine promise that God has us right in the midst of Ephesians? And He's telling you there that you are His inheritance. That we are His inheritance. That us in Christ is His inheritance. God has invested everything in us. He is all in. Nothing more to give. Gave everything. And He wants a return like nobody's business on His children. And He does. And this is it. And this is exactly what meekness does to her. It makes her not just valuable, but it makes her priceless. The offertory plate of that pearl of great price. Matthew 13:46. The merchant sold all that he had for the pearl of great price. He sold all that he had for the pearl of great price, brothers and sisters. Priceless is what that means. Surpassing all value is what that means. And all I can say is, if we want to be something to God, if we really want to be something special to Him, in spite of all of the error that you may have heard about building and doing and working, listen to John 3:30. John 3:30 tells you, son, daughter, he must increase. He must increase. But you and me must decrease. Paul let it be known, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians chapter 3, the grace given. I can almost not say that without stopping. But the grace given. I said to a brother this morning, speaking of that, my heart melts. It's just gone. Listen to those words, the grace given. He gave you grace. He gives you the grace. The gift of grace. To me, who am less than the least of all saints. See, Paul, Brother Paul, he showed us this. He walked in the way, praise God, into the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he told you how he did it. Listen to the words. It was the Spirit that worked it in his life. With all lowliness. All lowliness. All. See, there's more to go. With all meekness, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The Son can do nothing of Himself. You know who spoke those words? Jesus Christ. That's your Lord. He said the Son can do nothing of Himself. John 5:19 goes on to say, but what he seeth the Father do. I can of myself do nothing. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. Do you want to live a life with complete dependency on the power and the love and the faithfulness of God? I hope you do. I really hope you do. See, if you will be weak with Christ, if you will be weak with Christ, if I will be weak with Christ, I shall live with Christ by the power of God. You should smile. You should really smile and rejoice and be thankful. Do you realize what power that's talking about? That's the power that took Jesus Christ out of the grave and rose him up to heaven. It's the very same power, sons of God. Isn't that marvelous? I think that just makes me want to decrease even more. It makes me want to get out of the way even more. It makes me want to call out to God and say, Lord, please, thy will be done. Lord, let it be something that sings from my life. Let me quit trying to figure out my life. Let me quit trying to plan it out for you. The before ordained good works that I should walk therein. He's teaching me I don't think anymore. And every time I start to do, I say, oh Lord, take away this wicked way. I'm not kidding you. And you would say, well, that's not a wicked thought. Oh yes, it is. You know why? Because I want the mind of Christ. I want the mind of Christ to reign and to rule in my life. I don't want to move apart from the grace of God. His will be done. Brothers and sisters, We are in the most mighty of times. The most mighty of message and calling, the very high calling, the only calling, really, that there is upon us. And God, in His mercy, has counted us faithful to receive. God, plant it deep. Allow it to grow. Allow it to grow. But if we really do desire, brothers and sisters, I mean desire to be all pleasing to God, that the cry of the word to be altogether lovely, to obtain grace and favor above all the other virgins, here it is. Self has got to go. Self has got to go. It just does. It cannot be there. It cannot linger there with the desire of the beloved bridegroom. They cannot coexist. If your first thought of the day is you, you have got a serious problem. Denying self and my self-interest. And this is nothing, brothers and sisters, that I can chant into me, that I can meditate into me. Again, it's nothing that you could do at all. It's let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It's a peace and be still. It's not letting my mind wander. There's nothing that it has to do with my mind. It's letting His mind reign. It's just so awesome. Oh my goodness. But brother, you say, I got a reputation. Didn't you know I got a reputation? I have a position. A position. Woo! That I have to live up to. Now let me tell you something. This just isn't in the workplace, brothers and sisters. Please listen to this. This is in your home. In our assembly. I've got a position. I've got a testimony. Don't you know that? Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. What does God's best really mean to you? Please be serious. What does God's best, what is it worth to you? Really? Is it everything? Is it everything? I believe I'm seeing, again, all by grace. I would never want to flatter you one bit. God forbid. But I believe I see some Holy Spirit encouraged hearts that are saying, yes, I will go. But if it is, brothers and sisters, you best quit thinking about your reputation. Matter of fact, lose it. Lose it. Cast it off. It's a weight. You are not soaring. I promise you, no matter how high you think you are flying, you haven't got out of the hangar. You haven't. I'm not going to tell you about your airplane. It's perfect. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ are right there. You have got a jet. You've got a space. You've got something beyond the space shuttle. Problem is, by faith, are you going to allow Him to bring it out of the hangar? They don't fly in there. But you've been wanting just to show it off to everybody to come look at it. I don't know, even in the natural, I don't like my plane on the ground. Matter of fact, I want to fly so high you don't even see it. Because then you don't even know what I'm doing up there in it. I hope the ATC is not listening. That's air traffic control. Okay. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ needs to become our complete identity. Did you hear that? Our complete identity. That's who we are. We live in the most blessed time. God is showing us in this world that this world has nothing to offer us.
Right.
Listen to me. Young people as well too. The world has nothing to offer you. Nothing. Mm-mm. It's all smoke. There's no substance. And even if you thought it did, God in His great mercy is letting it just completely fall apart and blow apart right before your eyes. And to that I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for your undying mercy and favor to get rid of this junk. If your life is blowing up before your eyes, praise God. Something's going on. He wants you to look more up. Because I'll assure you, looking down and around you is only going to discourage you the much the more. And it will. And it will. 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I'm going to close with this. I believe he's ministered to you enough. Brothers and sisters, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have heard, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Listen to that. Ye are not your own. I guess I shouldn't be that concerned about myself. I don't know if he speaks to you that way, but he does to me. God has a wonderful sense of humor. Incredible. Amazing. And he is such a personal friend. It's absolutely serious. But I mean, when you have a real lover in your life, one of the greatest things I love to do is laugh. I love to laugh. Maybe to a fault, I love to laugh. But I find the humor in things. Maybe it's the frailty in man itself. But then the appreciation of the grace of God. And how when I take myself too serious, I just say, oh Lord, have you been doubled over for that long? You are just ornery, Lord, to allow me to go on this far. I am a nut. I am. But I'm a nut for the Lord. I'm thankful that He is real. And He speaks to me and He's so personal. But brothers and sisters, know we not, ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. And ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Oh, the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Don't forget about that. I got a testimony. But what about spirit? Search me, O Lord. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and in case we forgot, which are God's.
Yes, thank you.
And so today, brothers and sisters, may we magnify grace. May we magnify grace. May grace be, because that's all it is, the workmanship in me. Yep, yep, grace and grace alone. And then could you imagine, Lord willing, that we could be the masterpieces of His grace? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You, Lord. You're very intimate with us this morning. I'm thankful how You speak to us, Lord. And Your sheep know Your voice. God, thank You for Your word. Lord, we ask that again, it would be You that gives the increase because You're the only one that can. Let these seeds go deep. May they in spirit be well watered. And may they in temperance be there, God, for great fruit. We thank You. We give You all the praise. We thank You for Your people. We thank You that You first loved us. And by grace, we therefore love You. In Jesus' name, amen.